I was telling Caitlin a few days ago, one of the reasons that Spurgeon said why he wasn't in an assembly or among the brethren was the type of meetings we have here where you might wait around for someone to get up, and then someone gets up and they're not prepared, and and he thought it was sometimes a waste of time and a waste of words. But I do think that these type of meetings where there's no planned speakers, if everyone's exercised, it works good. I think we all need to be, and I speak for myself, we need to be exercised, right? Not so much exercise to speak, but in prayer beforehand, like that there will be ministry that's suitable. And we have been in conferences and meetings where the Lord has definitely spoken. And it wasn't through planned speakers. But anyway, I don't know why I said that. It can be abused, is what I'm saying, these meetings. And I hope I don't abuse it tonight. I'll try to take about 15 minutes maybe, and don't hold me to it if I go a few minutes over that. But I want to speak about the flesh. And I was thinking about something else if the opportunity arose to speak, but this was coming before my mind. So let's just read in Genesis chapter 3. And we're just going to read a passage and then go over it and then go on to another verse or two. So we'll start here in Genesis 3. And when we're speaking about the flesh, we're speaking about one of the enemies that we have, or one of the enemies of God. So we talk, and most of us have heard it, but some of us maybe haven't, that there's three enemies that the Christian has: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Or maybe in another order, that's maybe a little more accurate, the devil, he's the top enemy, and then there's the world, then there's the flesh. The thing about the flesh is it's right inside us. It's something that's inside us always trying to bring us down and to turn our eyes in the wrong place and to draw our affection away from the Lord and towards the world. When you think of the devil as God's enemy, or as our enemy, the devil, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "Be sober, vigilant," or maybe it's the next verse, "because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So it says your adversary, your enemy, the devil. The devil hates God. All of our enemies hate God and don't want us to live for God. So the devil hates God, and the devil rules over the world. But then the world is the system of men that's under the control of the devil that hates God and hates Christ. It's the system of men that put Christ on the cross. And the flesh is that in me that listens to the voice of the devil and obeys him instead of God. And the flesh is what loves the world. So the devil uses the world to tempt my flesh, to turn me away from God. So just quickly, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll read verse 1 to 6. "Now the serpent," the snake, we know from other passages that this is Satan himself. "Now the serpent was more subtle, more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, did God say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So the serpent, or the snake, as her enemy, first of all, he doubted the word of God. Has God said? And then when he realized she didn't really know what God said, she didn't quote God's word accurately, she said, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. God said, you can freely eat of the trees of the garden. So she didn't make God as generous as he was. Then she said in verse 3, at the end, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God didn't say, ye shall not touch it. God says, ye shall not eat it, and in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So she said, instead of you shall surely die, she said, lest ye die. So she added to God's word, then she took away the edge. She didn't state it as plainly as God had said it. So she didn't really know God's word, so the snake knew, Satan knew, okay, she doesn't know, I can trick her. So verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He doubted God's word. He completely denied God's word here. Verse 5, and he says, he explains here, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He said, God's holding back from you because God knows if you eat, you'll become gods and you'll know just as much as he knows. So God is trying to hold you back from a better existence, he says. So, gets her thinking. She dropped her guard. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So verse 6, there was three things she saw about the tree. The tree was good for food. So, okay, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay. It was pleasant to the eyes. It looks good. So if God made it pleasant, then it should be for me to take from, right? And then it says, a tree to be desired to make one wise. It will actually do me good and not harm, she said. And then after that, over to these three things, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She disobeyed God and gave also her unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words. I guess I may be a little nervous. But hopefully you can still understand me. So, in this passage, she's not a Christian like we are, because she's not saved. She's an innocent person that God created. But she has this flesh inside her that longs what's in front of her, the fruit of the tree. So the fruit of the tree really represents to us the world. Then there's the flesh inside her that wants the world. And then there's the devil that says, well, there's nothing wrong with it, just do it. And he gives lots of reasons why we should. So that's how the devil worked in the beginning. That's how he still works today. He might vary depending on the person in the way he presents his arguments and his deceptions, but this is basically the way the devil works. He works the same from the beginning. So let's go to Mark chapter 14 and verse 38. Mark 14 and verse 38, just for one verse here. And we're reading about the flesh. It says here, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, or the spirit truly is willing. It says in my margin, but ready and willing is basically the same thing. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So he was speaking to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the two that were with him, James and John. He said, I know you want to stay awake with me and pray. The spirit, that's the part of their makeup as Christians that would respond to God and love God's word and love Christ. But he said, the flesh is weak. Now, the flesh, that could mean just the body, and that's true. Our body is weak. We are weak. But he could be talking about the flesh as that part of them that's just anti-God and that loves sinful things and just really works against them wanting to move forward for God. So he says, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You're going to find that. Anyone here who's beginning your Christian life, well, you've probably already found it many times, but you're going to find it. And Robert McEwen used to tell us, it doesn't get any better as you get older. And it certainly doesn't. So let's come over to John chapter 6 for a verse. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6 and verse 63, and it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That could be talking about the Holy Spirit, but he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. You know, this is, once again, it could be just the flesh as our physical body. And what the context is the Lord Jesus had fed the 5,000, okay? And he had filled their tummies. And they thought, wow, this guy is really good. I mean, he could become a king, and he would abolish poverty and hunger and famine in our country. He can just produce bread out of nowhere. So we want a king that will fill our tummies. And then the Lord Jesus started teaching them, really, no, I didn't come to fill your tummies and to satisfy your desires. I came to speak unto you words that will save your soul. And I want to give you the bread from heaven that you will eat of it, spiritual bread, and you will live spiritually. And many of them turned around and went back. They didn't want to hear that. They would rather just have the physical thing and not the spiritual. But the Lord Jesus said, that bread that I gave you and you ate, that was good for one day. But if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that's good for eternity. You'd be satisfied for eternity. That's the better thing. So he said, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. He says, don't pay so much attention to the physical, but the spiritual. And, of course, our physical bodies and satisfying our physical bodies is only temporary. So that there, though, I thought about the flesh there. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh will never get us anywhere, and following the desires of the flesh, it will never get us anywhere. It profiteth nothing. Now, maybe we'll read in Romans chapter 7. And I have been up here almost 15 minutes, so I won't spend too much longer. But Romans chapter 7, and we could read really the whole chapter and talk about the flesh. But we'll read about a verse that talks about the flesh, and it says the word in verse 18. So Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Have you ever learned that yet? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Then the end of the verse says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Well, let's just talk about this chapter for a minute, and we'll move on to maybe one more verse. So in this chapter, Paul is telling us about an experience he had. He said, well, I thought I loved the law. I thought I loved God. But then a commandment came that told me, you shall not covet. You shall not strongly desire other things that are not yours. And he said, when the commandment came, it aroused sin in me. And all of a sudden, I wanted to reach out and grab things. He said, the law of God produced in me not goodness, but badness. It brought out the bad in me. And he said, and then I found out that, you know, when I try to do what's right, I know what's right in my mind and in my spirit, but when I try to do what's right with my body, I just do wrong all the time. And I do the exact opposite of what I know is right. And he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. This is an experience that Paul had in his life. But he said, here's something that it tells me. That in the inner man, in the mind, there's something in me that wants to do what's right. He said, that's a good thing. You know, that's really, if you do have a struggle, and if you do enjoy God's word and love Christ in your heart, then that's a good sign that you're truly saved. But then you say, well, I have this struggle and I'm doing things that I know are wrong. But the struggle sometimes proves the reality that we are saved. I'm not saying it always would, because our minds are very deceitful. But in this chapter, he says, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So, you'll have to read the next chapter in your own time and learn how he deals with that. But let's come over to one more in Galatians chapter 5. And I might have read this verse one Sunday here a while back, but we'll just read it quick and then I'll sit down. Maybe we'll read Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I might quote David Gilliland. He said something that was very helpful in this. He said, back when he was a young Christian, he thought it said, well, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not feel the lust of the flesh. So he said, if I really enjoy my Bible and read my Bible and live for God, I won't feel those negative passions and desires. But it doesn't say that. He said, it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll still have them, those feelings and those lusts. But if you walk in the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit in obedience to the Word of God, you will not do what the flesh wants you to do. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth. Lust are the desires strongly against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So the flesh, I didn't finish what I was going to say at the first about the devil. We see is our enemy in 1 Peter 5. Here we see the flesh is our enemy. It's contrary to the Spirit. It's contrary to God. And in James chapter 4, verse 4, he says, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore desires to be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So the world is our enemy. The world is God's enemy. If I want to be a friend of the world, I am, by doing that, the enemy of God. So I hope I was helpful. I hope I didn't say anything that's not scriptural, and trust that will be a help to someone.